Over the years, as some of you may remember, from time to time, I like to refer to different types of songs in some of my sermons. And I try to use songs that have something to do with the message that applies to the sermon. I find that it helps some to remember a point or two from the sermon by relating the point to the song, or vice versa, the song to the point. Well, today, as you're probably guessing, I will be referring to a particular song. In fact, today we're going to have a BOGO offer. Buy one, get one. Because I'll be referring to two particular songs today. But it's on me when I say buy one, get one. You won't have to buy anything. There's no money coming out of your pockets. I know that makes a few of you very happy to hear that. Now, I'll only be using one line from the first song. And that one line has a message especially for us during these difficult times. And then later in the sermon, I will be stressing mainly the title to another song that also has a message, and a powerful message for us today. There are actually two messages, but yet they relate to the same overall message. Put another way, talking about the two song references, one is a message of hope, and the other is a message of warning. Two different messages, but that message of warning leads us back to that message of hope because they are intertwined. But first, let's talk about the COVID-19 pandemic that has gripped not only our country, but also the world. And this pandemic is nothing like any of us have ever experienced. And if you're like me, and I know you are in this case, you're hoping you never have to experience anything like this again. Most of us have probably heard the expression wake-up moment. Mr. Sonnegren said wake-up call in his sermonette. According to Urban Dictionary, the phrase wake-up moment refers to a situation you are currently in is so awful that you hit rock bottom and have a sudden moment of realization that things can't go on this way. A sort of last straw moment when you realize you need to change something as things can't possibly stay this bad. Perhaps for some of us, the COVID-19 pandemic is a wake-up moment. And for today's sermon, we're stressing a spiritual wake-up moment. And that phrase, a spiritual wake-up moment, actually helps us, helps lead us to the message of the first song. But first, let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Remember, the message of the first song is a message of hope. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Yes, God has given us a future and a hope. And one way to look at that is that our future starts tomorrow. I won't ask for a show of hands, but have any of us thought or are thinking that if we did come down with the coronavirus, that we would get sick, perhaps very sick, or even that we might die from it? Probably some of us here today have thought along those lines. And when we start thinking about death, especially our deaths, we also tend to think about life, especially our lives. You know, at times it can seem ironic, but life and death go together. You can't have life without death, and you can't have death without life. Not in this physical world that we live in. Let's also realize it's only natural for us to be concerned about the pandemic that we're in. Even apprehensive. Having some fear is to be expected because we are in a serious situation. But as we go through the COVID-19 pandemic, has thinking about it taken over our lives? Are any of us so consumed with the coronavirus crisis that we can't stop thinking about it? Am I being enough of a Donnie Downer here, talking about worry, fear, sickness, and even death? Wasn't the message today going to be one of hope? Yes, but we also said we would also have a message of warning. And I think we can all say that the coronavirus that we're going through contains a warning message, not only for us and our country, but also the world. Remember, we refer to it as a wake-up moment. But hopefully none of us are so consumed with worry about what is happening in our country. But if we are, or perhaps maybe we're becoming too worried about it, especially as it keeps going on and on. If so, there is a remedy for that worry. And it's found in this book, the Bible. These are words given to us by our Heavenly Father. This book contains teachings given to us by our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we know, so much of his teaching is about the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that message contains our future and our hope. Brethren, let's stop worrying about the coronavirus, at least for today, for this Sabbath. Instead, let's focus on our future, because what a hope our future contains. So, let's finally get to that first song. What song will we be relating to our future and our hope? Well, it's the first line of the chorus of a Fleetwood Mac song. Many of you have heard of Fleetwood Mac, but it doesn't matter if you've never heard of them. The song is entitled Don't Stop, written by band member Christine McVie. And the first line of the chorus goes, "Don't stop thinking about tomorrow." Or it goes, "Don't stop thinking about tomorrow." And I see a few of you have shown that you've heard that song before. But since we're talking about our future, how about we say, "Don't stop thinking about our future." And again, our future starts tomorrow. Please turn with me to Lamentations 3, verse 26. Lamentations 3, verse 26. Now, when we read the book of Lamentations, we can see how it got its name. Lamentations refers to an expression of sorrow, mourning, or regret. Lamentation means having profound grief. This is how my New King James Bible begins to describe the book of Lamentations in its introduction. It states, "Lamentations describes the funeral of a city. It is a tear-stained portrait of the once proud Jerusalem, now reduced to rubble by the invading Babylonian hordes. In a five-poem dirge, Jeremiah exposes his emotions. A death has occurred. Jerusalem lies barren." But even today, when we want to lament about what is happening to us with the COVID-19 pandemic, God still gives us hope. Lamentations 3, verse 26. "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The Complete Jewish Bible says to wait patiently. The Message Bible puts it, "It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God." Now, we may hear this and think, wait quietly? Be patient? But we're going through a pandemic. We're restricted on what we can do and where we can go. We're told, even warned, to wear masks when we go out. We have to keep 6 feet apart. We have to wash our hands constantly or use hand sanitizer. And then we're told it's better to just stay at home and not go anywhere if we really don't have to. With all these restrictions, we're going stir crazy. We are to wait quietly? Of course, as Christians, we know the answer to that. We know the answer is yes. Not no. Not maybe. Not sometimes. But yes, We are to wait quietly. We are to be patient. Let's look at verse 25 here in Lamentations 3. The Lord is good to those who wait for them. And then it adds, to the soul who seeks him. Now let's turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Even during a pandemic, God gives us encouragement as we look to his hope. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brethren, we will make it through this crisis. But we need to put God first in everything that we do. Always trust in the hope that God gives us. Let me quote from Micah 7, verse 7. Brethren, when we start to get weary, when we start to think that we're getting weak spiritually, remember these words from the prophet Micah in Micah 7, 7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Yes, he will hear us. And he is hearing us. And if we wait quietly, hint, hint, we will hear his message of hope. And it will come through loud and clear. Please turn with me to Titus 2, verse 13. Titus 2, verse 13. Yes, right now we may be lamenting about what we're going through with the COVID-19 crisis, but we have hope. Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what God our Father wants us to have on our minds during this trial. Let's not focus on death, but focus on life. Focus on the life that is our future and our hope. Yes, we are living with this pandemic 24 hours of every day, and it can get tedious. But we can't let it consume our lives physically, because if we do, it will consume our lives spiritually. Please turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. And when you see it, of course, you'll remember it's a very familiar scripture. In fact, it's a memory scripture for so many. It's a scripture that is of prime importance for our spiritual lives. Matthew 6, verse 33. We'll just look at the first part. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As Christians, we should never neglect the meaning of the scripture at any time, even during a pandemic. In fact, we need this scripture to live by this scripture more than ever. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They go together. We really can't do one without the other. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Here the Apostle Paul tells us about the kingdom of God and righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And that's all we'll read in there. So, brethren, our unrighteousness will prevent us from seeking righteousness. And our unrighteousness will also use self-righteousness to avoid righteousness. Because all too often what we may think is our righteousness is actually our self-righteousness. So if we also do not seek God's righteousness, we also won't be seeking God's kingdom. Psalm 119, 172 says, for all your commandments are righteousness. Isaiah 51, verse 7 states, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. And we want to be part of those referred to as you people. Let's look at Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:10. And let's see how poetic Isaiah was in relating our salvation and our righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. I believe we can call Isaiah not only a prophet here, but also a poet. And he continues poetically in verse 11. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God's righteousness leads us to his kingdom. And what a hope that is. And that's our future. Let me again stress the message of the first song by sharing a letter with you from one of my favorite books to use, Dear You. It's a story of a young woman who had no hope. But then she found hope, and that led to her future. That's a letter that I have used before, and so some of you may remember it. But I think it's an excellent example of hope as we go through this COVID-19 crisis. Of course, Dear You is written by Donald Russell Robertson. It's a series of letters that he wrote to himself about various viewpoints and feelings that he had on various subjects, hence the name Dear You, Letters to Himself. And this letter is entitled, A New Face. Dear You, some years ago, a touching true story was told in a national magazine about a beautiful and bright nurse. This young lady's life seemed all in front of her, and the future looked rosy to her. Then, without warning or preparation, her life was dramatically and permanently changed. She had a head-on collision with a huge truck, and the lower part of her face was completely torn off by the crushing impact. Her appearance was so horrible and grotesque that it shocked the police and hospital staff who attended her. Later, two Girl Scouts selling cookies door-to-door ran away screaming after she appeared at the door. Her husband couldn't handle it. He divorced her. She was all alone, ugly, injured, and hopeless. No wonder at this point she cried again and again, "Why me, God?" But the story does not end there in her deep despair. There was a considerate, courageous, and determined young plastic surgeon at Ellendorf Air Force Hospital who would not let her quit. With patient skill and even ingenuity, he rebuilt the lower part of her face. It took 7 years and an incredible 35 operations in all. But now this same young nurse, the near monstrosity that literally scared children, is once more an attractive woman. But the story does not end here either. Through the long haul of treatment, surgery, and rehabilitation, the character and personality of this valiant young nurse had shown through the scars and deformations and had reached the heart of the physician, a bachelor at the time. In the end, he was so attracted to her looks as well as to her person that he asked her to marry him. She had also fallen in love with the doctor. They are now husband and wife. Now she says things have worked out so wonderfully in her life that she has the answer to the agonizing question which once had dominated her life. Why me, God? The dedicated physician had created a new face and brought beauty, hope, satisfaction, and happiness into a life crushed by despair. This reminds me of another physician, the great physician. Jesus Christ takes our sin-mangled lives and creates a new person. With patience and love, he carves out for us a new interface. Listen once more to the great assurance that the Apostle Paul gives us concerning Christ's creative work. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He quotes 2 Corinthians 5:17. He ends with, "Let us surrender our lives to the great physician so that he can do a job of creative surgery on us." Hope can come unexpectedly and at any time. We won't turn there, but remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? It's found in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. When she was brought before Jesus, and quite frankly, brought before that potential mob, because they could have easily have become one, what hope did she have? Did she even have any? She most likely expected to be stoned to death because that was the punishment for adultery. And she knew she was guilty. But Jesus Christ, our Savior and her Savior, gave her hope. And instead of death, he offered her life when he told her to go and sin no more. Now let's go to the message of that second song. Watching a PBS special about folk groups and folk songs from the 50s and 60s reminded me of this song and the artist who made it popular. I was a teenager in the 1960s when this song came out. The turbulent 60s, as it was known. During the 60s, we had the Vietnam War, college protests, race riots, the start of the drug culture, a descent of morality in our society. We still had the Cold War with the Soviet Union. Red China had its cultural revolution where millions upon millions of its citizens died. There was a war between Israel and the neighboring Arab states. It was known as the Six-Day War because Israel won in 6 days. But many people don't remember or didn't know that the Soviet Union had threatened to come into the war on the side of the Arab states unless Israel ends the war, because Israel was just about to annihilate and totally eliminate a major Arab army. And their allies, the Soviet Union, wouldn't allow that. So that's why they ended it in 6 days, or they would have taken another day or two to wipe out that army. In the 60s, the threat of nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union was constantly on our minds. It was a real threat. The 60s brought upheaval around our country and the world. And during this time of revolution, there were protest songs and anti-protest songs. And one particular song came out that seemed to bring all of the chaos into focus. It was a song that made people, especially young people, such as yours truly, yes, I was young at one time, it made us stop and think about the times we lived in. The song had a way of drawing you into its message, and it captivated so many, as I said, especially young people. And when I heard it again after I don't know how many years, but when I heard it again, I was still attuned to its message. The name of the song was Eve of Destruction, written by P.F. Sloan and memorably sung by Barry McGuire. Barry McGuire had a very distinct singing voice. His voice was kind of raspy, and he sang with a raw power. And his voice and style made the song even more effective. The song came out in 1965. And when I saw Barry McGuire sing it on that PBS special, his voice was pretty much the same as it was in 1965. Now, he didn't look pretty much the same as he did in 1965, but his voice was pretty much the same. I found I was still drawn to the message of the song. I found it still very powerful and provocative. Now, some of the lyrics describing events of that period are now out of date. But the title, the phrase, Eve of Destruction, is not out of date. As was mentioned earlier, the title is what we'll be mainly stressing from this second song. However, I would like to share some of the lyrics of the song to give you an idea of the feeling, the message behind the song, Eve of Destruction. And when the song came out, there was still a military draft in the United States. All males 18 and above were eligible to be drafted. But the voting age was 21. And it's been said that this song helped Congress to lower the voting age to what it is now, 18. Just a few lyrics from Eve of Destruction. The eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Then in the last stanza, part of it goes, and these words are not out of date. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. When I heard that line, I remembered that was my favorite line of the song back in the 60s. And guess what? It's still my favorite line of that song because of what it really tells you. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Let's read some of Christ's words on what will be happening in this world as we approach / enter the eve of destruction. Matthew 24, we'll pick it up in verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples came to him, talking about Jesus, privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. That seems in my lifetime, as well as all of your lifetimes, we've always had wars and rumors of wars. Continued verse 6, see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and of course this COVID-19 pandemic just jumps at us when we read that word pestilences. Continuing in earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Or we can say all these are lead-ins to the eve of destruction. Verse 9. When they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. How much of these events, these happenings, will we see and live through? Christ is warning us what is going to happen before he returns. And then we get some very encouraging scriptures that give us hope. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. The eve of destruction leads us to hope. And how bad will the destruction around the world be? Verse 22 of Matthew 24 tells us. Gives us an idea. Verse 22, and lest those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Can you imagine a war so terrible that every life on earth could be destroyed? But Christ tells us no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So let's also remember that the eve of destruction is followed by destruction. Let's see verses 29 to 31 here in Matthew 24. When everything is at its worst, Jesus Christ will usher in our future and our hope. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the sun will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. When the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. One day in the future, Jesus Christ will return to this earth and put a stop to the destruction. And brethren, that hope is sure. Since we've been staying at home a lot during the coronavirus pandemic, we've all probably heard sermons and Bible studies talking about what will happen at the time of the end. Many of us will remember after 9/11, people were asking, is this it? Meaning, is this the start of when events in Bible prophecy of the last days, are they now going to start to be fulfilled? And many people today are asking, is this it? Regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. Many are wondering if we'll now start to see Bible prophecies regarding the last days start to be fulfilled one by one. So brethren, we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully we'll all wait, how? Quietly. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 23. Romans 8, verses 23 through 25 for another reminder of our waiting on our future and our hope. Romans 8, verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Let me ask all of us this question. What would we rather hear, a message of hope or a warning message? If we were to answer what first comes to our minds, I'd venture to say that we would choose the message of hope. Why? Number one, right off the bat, that's a more positive sounding message. It's a message that makes us feel better. Not to be redundant, but that message gives us hope. And quite frankly, we need that message now as we go through this pandemic. Right now, especially, we want good news. We need good news. But let's also realize that when we take time to study the warning message more closely, we'll see that it leads us to the same good feelings we get from hope. Because it also gives us good news. Yes, the warning message starts out as something many would call negative. Yes, it tells us terrible events are going to happen in this world. But when will all that destruction end? With the return of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll read verses 13 through 18. Let's read some words of comfort and hope. In other words, brethren, let's read some good news. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Of course, these words remind us of the hope of the resurrection. Brethren, when Jesus Christ returns, our future and our hope will be assured. Yes, the two messages start out as different, but they do take us to the same place. To paraphrase Matthew 24, verse 13, but he who endures the destruction shall receive that hope. Watching sermon webcasts the last 3 months from other congregations and in different states while our in-person services were canceled, I've noticed that there was one particular hymn that seemed to be very popular when it came time to close services. Why? Because it's a hymn of hope. In fact, under the thematic index in the back of the church hymnal, I bet some of you didn't even know there's a thematic index in the back of the hymnal. But there is, and there's one called Hope, and this hymn is listed under Hope in the thematic index. Now, a couple of you probably figured out which hymn it is. It's hymn number 133, God Will See Us Through. So how about we say this is a bonus song for the sermon? So instead of a BOGO, it's a, I don't know how to say B-O-G-T, but it's instead of buy one, get one, it's buy one, get two. Let me read some of the words of hope from God Will See Us Through, hymn number 133. We all know doubts and fears. Life is full of toil and tears. Still we're told, have no cares. God will see us through. Till Christ comes, we'll endure living God's way, true and pure. Day by day, come what may, God will see us through. Earth may shake, stars may fall, we will stand right through it all. Till the last trumpet call, God will see us through. Do we believe those words? And more importantly, do we live by those words, even during a pandemic? With the hope that God gives us, brethren, our answer should always be yes. And yes, even during the pandemic. God will see us through worse, even worse things than this COVID-19 crisis. Now, most definitely times are difficult now and we should be concerned and we should be watching closely what does happen with this pandemic. We do need to take the proper precautions to protect ourselves as we also ask God for his guidance and protection. But as we read in Matthew 24, it's going to get worse as time goes on. Remember, the eve of destruction leads to destruction. Brother, let's review a time in Israel that was worse than what we're going through now. Let's go back to 2 Kings 6, verse 24. 2 Kings 6, we'll start in verse 24. As many of us know, when we go to a grocery store, they may have some food shortages, such as beef and chicken. And they'll have shortages in other things, you know, such as hand sanitizer. I know for a while, bread flour was very hard to find, and plus yeast too. And of course, toilet paper, can't leave that out. In one area, I heard a rumor that there was even a shortage of razor blades. I haven't confirmed that yet. Then there are limits on how much we can buy on many of the items when we go to the supermarket. Of course, this is to prevent hoarding and panic buying, so everyone can have the opportunity to buy food and other necessities. But as we know, many people get uneasy and worry about not being able to buy the food and other items that they need. Well, let's read how bad things were here in 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 24. And this story is not for the faint-hearted. 2 Kings 6, verse 24. We'll read verses 24 through 29. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. Indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "The Lord does not help you. Where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." So as bad as things are right now in our society, it's not as bad as it was happened back then. And of course, the book of Revelation tells us how bad it will be before Jesus Christ returns. But let's remember, our hope gives us protection against that time as it gives us protection against this time as we deal with the COVID-19 coronavirus. Remember in Matthew 24 when Christ told us, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But remember, he also told us, see that you are not troubled. The NIV says, see to it that you are not alarmed. And I like the New Living Translation. It says, but don't panic. Let's remember that the next time we're at the supermarket and they're out of something that we need. Let's turn back to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, because even when Satan throws all his wrath against the church, we don't have to panic. Revelation 12, verses 13 and 14. These are very familiar and encouraging scriptures. Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Verse 14, but the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Then let me read from Matthew Henry's commentary regarding verse 14. And Matthew Henry's commentary was completed in the early part of the 1700s. So that's over 300 years ago. And this is what Matthew Henry wrote regarding verse 14. He had conveyed her as on eagle's wings into a place of safety provided for her, where she was to continue for a certain space of time. And of course, many of us have heard of this place in the wilderness called the place of safety for years. If we're alive at this time, our hope is that we will be taken there. Brethren, let's realize our hope is unlimited. Speaking of hope, there is an expression that is being used during this COVID-19 crisis that goes, hope is stronger than fear. Perhaps some of you have seen it or heard it. And with God's Holy Spirit, it's an expression that we can wholeheartedly agree with, because yes, hope is stronger than fear. And for us, our hope is so much bigger than any pandemic. But we know we still have a fight on our hands during this crisis. Yes, we do know not to let our guard down with the COVID-19 coronavirus. And that can remind us of a spiritual lesson. We are not to let our guard down with Satan. Please turn to 1 John 5, verse 19. 1 John 5, verse 19. Satan will use this pandemic for his own purpose, brethren. He wants us to focus totally on ourselves. He wants us to only focus on our needs during this crisis. As we shelter at home, he wants us to feel sorry for ourselves. He wants us to focus on the present and not focus on the future, especially our future. Satan would like nothing better than for all of us to lose hope, to just give up. But remember, we know something that the rest of the world doesn't. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And that's why our future brings us hope. But as Revelation 12:9 also reminds us, Satan deceives the whole world. And that won't stop until Christ returns and Satan is put away for first 1,000 years. How close are we to that time? This pandemic makes us think about that, doesn't it? Probably some of us, or many of us, have heard of the doomsday clock. Now, doomsday, that's a word that fits right in with the eve of destruction. But for you who don't know what the doomsday clock is, let me share this description of it. The doomsday clock is a symbol that represents the likelihood of a man-made global catastrophe. Maintained since 1947 by the members of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, the clock is a metaphor for threats to humanity from unchecked scientific and technical advances. On January 23rd of 2020, this year, the clock was reset to 100 seconds to midnight. And that is the closest that it's ever been to midnight. And when it hits midnight, that is when the world is destroyed, according to the atomic scientist's doomsday clock. Now, what effect the COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting probable worldwide recession will have on the time on the doomsday clock is something we'll just have to wait and see. You know, for most people, the chorus of the song Eve of Destruction is still true for today. Remember? Ah, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. But by going by the doomsday clock, we see that even much of the secular scientific community tells us that, yes, we are on the eve of destruction. 100 seconds to midnight. So, brethren, what is the takeaway from today's sermon? Or how about we put it this way, and this is not a trick question. But before the coronavirus, and why don't we just refer to it as BC, or before coronavirus. So, BC, then let's add the new normal that we keep hearing about. We keep being told that our whole country will have a new normal after this pandemic is over. But as Christians, BC, before coronavirus, what was our old normal, our old spiritual normal? And as we continue to go through this coronavirus and then after it, what is to be, again, as Christians, our new normal? Talking about our new spiritual normal. Will our spiritual new normal be the same as our spiritual old normal? Well, yes, it could be. But after what we're dealing with, should it be the same? Or should we be looking to a new and improved spiritual normal? Remember what we referred to as the pandemic, a spiritual wake-up moment. But for all of us, was it? Or when this crisis is over, will we just go back to our old spiritual normal? As we start to conclude for today, I thought I'd do a little something differently, at least for me anyway. Let's talk about the title for this sermon before we close. Now, when I'm working on a new sermon, I like to have a working title as I begin that new sermon. And sometimes as I get into the sermon, I find my working title doesn't work. But that wasn't the case with this sermon. Instead, my working title led me to another working title, which in turn led me to another working title. I even started thinking of a couple other potential titles. Of course, with either of the two song references that I used in the introduction, either one would make an appropriate title. Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow and Eve of Destruction. Or how about the phrase, a spiritual wake-up moment? That would work too. I thought about a couple others, but I finally eliminated them from consideration. So those were the three main contenders for the title. And after I wrote that down, I realized it sounds like a boxing reference, and I didn't mean for it to sound like one. Then I thought about maybe combining parts of the three contenders into one. So I first came up with, Don't Stop Waking Up to Destruction. But that didn't work. Then it was, Don't Stop Thinking About Waking Up Tomorrow. That was even worse. Yes, I wanted to combine them, but not in that way. Instead, I wanted the title to be a combining element in bringing the messages together. Remember, we talked about the two songs having two different messages. One a message of hope and the other a warning message. Yes, two messages, but the message of warning leads us back to the message of hope. And both messages lead us to our future. And what is our future? The kingdom of God. Again, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. As Christians, that is our focus. It was our focus BC, before coronavirus. It's our focus during the coronavirus. That's to be our focus after the coronavirus. It's to be our focus until the end, and after our end comes, it will be our focus for all eternity, eternity in the kingdom of God. So, what is the title of the sermon for today? I didn't go with a spiritual wake-up moment because during the sermon, it was used more to relate to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that left two contenders. I decided not to go with Eve of Destruction because just hearing it doesn't immediately have us think of the kingdom, as we mentioned earlier. So that left Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. But, you knew there was going to be a but there, didn't you? But that's not exactly the title. I did make a slight change to it. Now, I did write down Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow as the title in my notes. But we also said our future starts tomorrow. And we talked about our future and our hope. And then when we bring in our memory scripture in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and we start thinking, yes, our future starts tomorrow. Yes, we have a future and a hope. But as the eve of destruction leads to destruction, which in turn leads to the return of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ will usher in the kingdom of God. So after writing down, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, I put a line, a slash, through the word tomorrow. And then I wrote right above it, the kingdom. So now it reads, Don't Stop Thinking About the Kingdom, with the word tomorrow right under it with a slash through it. And that is the title for today. And just like that. And brethren, we can't go wrong seeking and thinking about the kingdom of God, can we? No. Let's close for today by going to a scripture for encouragement. Well, how about we do another BOGO? Like we started the sermon. Buy one, get one. And again, no money involved. Brethren, we are going through a trial right now. It's just one of many that we must face and endure before we enter the kingdom of God. Let's all remember we are in this together. Please turn to Psalm 91, verse 4. Psalm 91, verse 4. At our house, we actually have this scripture on a plaque just outside our bedroom door as we go into the living room. Come out our bedroom door, and the plaque is right there, and there's the living room. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. And it adds, his truth shall be your shield and buckler, even during a pandemic. Let's end with Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. And this is a favorite scripture of mine. Just talk about encouraging. This scripture brings nothing but encouragement. Brethren, do we want comfort? Do we want peace? Do we want mercy? Of course we do. And God will give us all that and more thanks to his love. Revelation 21, verse 4, the new heaven, a new earth, new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. God himself will dwell with his people, dwell with us, and for all eternity in the kingdom of God. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away, including the COVID-19 pandemic, including all the protests and riots and wars that this world can offer. There will be only peace and comfort and love and so much more for all eternity. And I know we're all praying, may that time come soon as we all wait quietly and patiently for it. So, for all of us, brethren, don't stop thinking about the kingdom. Good Sabbath.